because it matters. The introduction of Building Information Modeling, or BIM for short, was a turning point in the history of architecture. Why this is the case, and why digital planning tools are revolutionizing building construction and simplifying communication between all involved parties will be discussed in this episode. Let's explore the world of safe, secure, and seamless access solutions together with our host, Wilma Werner.
Welcome to Because It Matters, the podcast where we open the doors to innovation, merge aesthetic with function, and security with elegance. That is a huge promise. And in this podcast, we aim to keep our promises, and which is why we have invited industry experts as guests who give us an in-depth expertise look into their daily work life. And today in this first episode, we have Peter Kocher from South Africa and Matthew Guys from Texas on board. Welcome, gentlemen. Great to have you here.
Great to be here.
Thank you.
Please, gentlemen, give us a short, a brief introduction about yourself. Who are you? What are you the experts for? Matthew, please give it a go.
I've been in the industry for a little over 40 years. I've done everything from working as a distributor to a specification writer. My current role with Dormer Cobb is the Assistant Vice President of EntryWorks, responsible for deployment of EntryWorks in the Americas.
Mm-hmm. So, and far long have you been with the company now?
I've been with Dormer Cobb for about 14 months now, 15 months. Was with a competitor for 22 and a half years prior to that.
Are you allowed to tell us that you've been with a competitor? Why, you just told us, okay. So, and that, what brought you to the company?
A couple of different things. Yeah, I left my previous role, and Dormer Cobb and the EntryWorks platform offered something that was new and exciting, something that was taking a different approach to the industry than what we had seen before. So I was very intrigued and applied for the position, and now I'm here.
Mm-hmm. So I'm curious to find out more about that, what got you here in detail. And we would like to welcome Peter from South Africa. Please introduce yourself.
So, Peter Kutsier from South Africa. It's my actual first job starting for Dormer Cobb. It's been with Dormer Cobb for the last 12 years now. Started off just doing specifications and moved over into the BIM side of doing specifications. And from there, it just picked up. Got involved with BIM applications. We created some tools locally for Revit, and currently I'm the project manager for our specification tools globally and for the BIM plugins.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. And I am a business psychologist. Gentlemen, please tell us about your formal educational background. What is it that you bring to the table when it comes to the formal aspect of it? Peter, would you like to go off, start first?
Actually, it's So I just I finished school, and my family was in the company as well. And from school days, I was always some sort of involved in what they're doing. Always curious to do what they did. So when I left school, I just applied for the job.
Who of your family is working with Dormer Cobb? So you had basically no other choice than to become a Dormer Cobb member as well.
So my dad used to work for Dormer Cobb. He's currently on pension, but he was also in the industry for many years, quite established as well locally. And my older brother as well. He worked for one of our competitors, and he's currently located in Australia. Working for a competitor there.
Okay.
So it's a whole family type of involvement.
Mm-hmm. And Matthew, what about you?
My undergraduate degree was actually in human resources.
Oh, really?
Really. So I graduated the University of Arkansas and with a degree in human resources and went to work for a distributor in door hardware and not in the human resources department. And then I got my master's in 2011 in just business administration. and have continued to work in this industry ever since.
Okay, so that you already told us. You've been here with Dormakaba for 14 months now. And looking at your work atmosphere with the company so far, can you share a highlight or a surprising moment that you've experienced within the company now that you're in this role?
I worked for my previous company was a global corporation. I would say Dormakaba, both being a global corporation, the approach to the market and the approach to the architectural segment is different. It's exciting. It's not focused on a small segment of just door hardware. Dormakaba has such a broad portfolio of products and solutions that they can bring to the market and to the architectural community. And that's the direction that we're heading. And that's what we're promoting. That's what the tools that have been built to share with the architectural community, the general contractors, the owners. A lot of the things that Peter is helping us develop are designed around the entire life cycle of the building and anything that you would consider an opening. And that's, I think, one of the most exciting and refreshing pieces of being here at Dormakaba.
I love how you call it the architectural community that you are connected to. And I would like to get to know you even a bit deeper. Imagine I would call you because you are the experts in something, an area of your private life. What would it be? Probably maybe you are an expert in different types of wines, or you are into sports. So what do you think? What topic would it be? When I think I definitely need to call Matthew because he knows anything about unicorns. What topic would it be?
Wow. Most people tell me I'm a jack of all trades and master of very few. But yeah, in my personal life, I have two children, and my son is a huge lacrosse player.
How old is he?
He just turned 20. He's a sophomore in college. He plays goalie. So I've been involved with him since he was in the fifth grade, helping coach and develop him in lacrosse. Which was a lot of fun most of the time until he got to the age where dad didn't matter anymore. But lacrosse has been a lot of fun for me. I've enjoyed watching him play, even though I've told him as a goalie, you're not very smart because everybody gets to throw the ball at you really hard. And, you know, you have to stand there. And it's not soft. It's like having a rock thrown at you.
Yeah. So, I mean, you have to really stand your ground if you want to take that ball.
I would probably
be a very terrible goalie. So props to your son.
Yeah, I don't think I would do very well standing in the goal either. So it's been a lot of, but that's been a lot of fun. My daughter was a swimmer for a long time. So I enjoy being around my kids and their activities and just getting involved in their sports as much as they'll let me.
Yeah. So you're a great supporter and fan from the rim of the pool.
Yes.
And the rim of the pitch. Okay. Thank you. And Peter, if there was a topic that we could call you an expert in from your private life, your spare life, what topic would it be?
Well, from a young age, I've always been quite a technology-driven kind of person, especially on the computer side or the technical side of computers. And I think that's what most people are known me for, is always being not just assisting them with computers, but going into technical things about computers, about software, about all those kind of things. So that's has helped me quite a lot in what I'm doing today. And other than that, like the outdoors as well, like to go out with friends, explore the nature, and all of that.
Mm-hmm. And Peter, allow me to ask you, how old are you?
I'm currently 33.
Okay, so you know what an Atari is, don't you?
Actually not.
No, you're lying. An Atari, you know what that is, don't you?
No, I don't.
Oh, Matthew knows what it is.
Yes, I do.
Okay, because whenever I talk to people who are enthusiasts about computers, they get tears in their eyes when we talk about Ataris and the early days of computers. But that was decades ago. Yeah.
So, I mean, I know what it is. Never used one. I think it was a bit before my age. Yeah, PlayStation, Xbox, all of those kinds of things I'm familiar with.
Okay, so Matthew, being the supporter, the sports supporter of his children, be it in swimming or in lacrosse, and Peter, the enthusiast when it comes to the technical part, especially computers and software. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Digitalization and architecture.
Gentlemen, if you ask members of various industries what are the hot topics, what have been the hot topics of the last years, digitalization is something that you need to come across. What do you think, what have been the main drivers for digitalization in the field of architecture, Matthew?
In large part, it's accuracy and speed. The construction cycle over the last 25, 30 years has continued to get shorter. It used to be when you would see a general contractor show up at a site, start pushing dirt around and pouring a slab and erecting the red iron, that the entire building had been designed. Today, that structural package is designed and bid before the interior of the building is ever designed. So the architect has had time taken away from their construction or their design cycle. And in order to make up for that time and to allow them the time and the accuracy to design correctly, they've had to explore ways to get their information from consultants like Dormakaba around whether it be the facade of the building, whether it be the revolving doors, whether it be the interior doors, the access control. They've relied on us to help digitalize that and provide the information faster, more accurately, and make it easier for them to digest.
So that would create more pressure for all of the parties of the process, be it the architects, be it the different builders and everything, everyone who plans everything. That sounds like it would create more pressure for everyone in the past.
It does, because of the coordination between trades. When you think about a door or you think about an opening in a building, any opening, and as soon as you electrify it or put access control on it, now you don't just have the door supplier involved. You have the low-voltage electrician. You have whoever's providing the access control system. You have the door supplier that has to make modifications, the frame supplier, the hardware supplier, whoever's putting the wall up. All those trades now have to be able to coordinate. And before that, it used to be done on paper. People would generate and provide paper submittals, and someone would go through and evaluate all that. With the digitalization of the industry, that can be done electronically. So Peter's an expert in BIM. And can talk about how there's collision detection and the ability to provide digital images or digital information about the products allow you to detect that early on in the process and avoid costly mistakes.
We know that Peter knows the Atari just from afar. And what do you so Peter, listening to Matthew's example, how information and data had to be passed on paper, have you ever had experiences with that, or have you always been working digitally?
No. In the beginning, it was always on either paper or PDF. We clients share that data on email or share just plans on paper to us. And over the last couple of years, that has changed so much where you don't require that anymore. There's BIM tools involved, there's plugins that can extract this data from the client and share it to us to actually process. So it's changed a lot over the last years.
And if you compare a process that would have taken us, let's say, a week to finish in the past, how long would it take us now with the aid of digitalization?
A couple of days, depending on the amount of data that we should process on our side. I can remember in the past where we had to do specifications for a project that takes a week or 2 weeks. And with the current process, it can take a couple of days. So it's reduced time a lot on our side to prepare that documentation. But it also assists clients. Not to print that paper out and send it to us or send PDFs. So digitalization has helped a lot.
And can you give us a few more examples about how the planning process and the design of buildings has improved since then?
Well, in the past, most projects were created on drawings or in CAD back in the day. And over the last years, most of the clients have switched to Revit or to ARCHICAD. And using Revit, you have a BIM process. And through those processes in BIM, that data can be shared to us quite easily and quite quickly. It means that the life cycle for the whole project is reduced quite a lot. It's benefiting the client, it's benefiting us, and lastly, it's benefiting the architect as well.
That sounds too good to be true. Is there anything that you maybe miss about the old days?
At the moment, not.
Okay.
Because everything is digitalized, it helps all of us. Not missing having big plans on your desk, trying to draw up specifications. Today's world, you can have that floor plan open on your monitor. So all of that has helped quite a lot.
Matthew, can you tell us about can you give us an example about a project where digitalization of the planning process played a crucial role and what this meant for the end result?
There are a number of projects that have changed in that. You know, Peter mentioned the BIM and the ability to exchange data. We've worked on projects that anywhere from 5 doors to over 10,000 doors. And you can imagine if you're having to unroll a set of plans and try to find and enter the data for 10,000 doors into a tool so you can generate the specification piece. That's a lot of manual entry. And then to turn that around and send it back to the architect in a form of a PDF, they now have to re-enter 10,000 openings into their model in whatever tool they're writing in, if it's not digitalized. And then they have to review everything manually. So you're talking the images of products are in a PDF, or in the old days, like the Atari, they were on paper. We printed out, cut down trees and printed them out and sent them over to the architect and multiple copies. Not only does it happen between us and the architect, but when you think about the distribution channel, they have to process all of that data again. So before we had the digitalization of the process, they took a paper book, a specification manual, and they transferred all of that data that we created in hardware sets, took it out of the book and typed it back into a third-party business software so they could generate a price. They could bid the job, and then they did it all over again to create a submittal that they sent to the architect, who had to go review all of that again manually and then make any revisions. And that whole process just continued to repeat itself. So
that sounds extremely tedious.
It was unbelievably tedious. In 10 years ago, people were still sending things in with pencil and paper. And that's how much the industry has started to change and continues to evolve because of the digitalization processes.
And you have a huge overview about how long things took in the past and how long it takes someone today to finish the very same job. And in order to make it a bit more graspable, Matthew, what are your estimates about specific numbers? Comparing the cost, for example, how cost-saving is it now compared to 10 years ago? What do you estimate with time spent, with personal cost, with paper costs and everything?
It has been cut. The time it takes to do the job today versus the time it took to do the job 10 years ago, from a specification perspective or even a distributor's perspective, has probably been cut by 75%. So it takes about a quarter of the time it used to take to do the same job.
Wow. That means you can work 4 times as much as you used to. Is that what you're saying?
Or get a personal life back. Which, yeah.
Or that. Okay.
If you ever call a spec writer, they'll tell you they work 80 hours a week and then twice that on Saturday. So, But now you've had the opportunity to bring back that balance of life, the quality of life that they, you know, you have to have a balance between personal and work. And that's an important piece. And I think the advances in the tools have allowed us to get to that point or begin to get to that point.
Is that what you've been experiencing personally, getting a life back?
I won't say that I do that very well because I enjoy working. And so my wife would probably tell you he enjoys work for personal, but the amount of stress that comes off to meet deadlines has been tremendous.
So, and the business psychologist part in me is absolutely happy to hear that it even enhances work-life balance and work satisfaction. Peter, Is that your experience as well, that it even creates better working atmospheres for companies and employees as well?
Yeah, exactly. With the whole process being a lot quicker these days, to get information from clients and for us to process it, because it's reduced so much, you can do more. And you have a bit more time to work on other topics. So you're not focusing on capturing tedious data anymore in a system that in the past could take 5 or 6 days. These days can take a couple of seconds to get that information in the system.
That's huge.
So you're not stressing about capturing our data, and you can focus on other aspects of the project.
And I was just about to ask you what other aspects than work you would focus on if you had like 70% more time available. What would you spend it on?
I would say a consultant that can spend more time with the client. They can spend more times dealing with other projects or focusing more on the contractors or the installation team. There's a lot more time that you can utilize now to focus on the client itself and not just on doing specifications in a company.
That sounds like I would be in wonderful hands if I was your client, you spending more time with me and my wishes. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
A brief history of planning tools.
Now that we've talked about the digitalization and what change it brought to your everyday work life and what planning tools have evolved, let's dive deeper into the building information modeling as a turning point. And in order for me to get a better understanding, Peter, what distinguishes BIM from previous planning methods?
Okay, so through BIM, BIM is a process of involving and generating and management of digital representations of the building itself. So through previous legacy softwares like AutoCAD, there was always a manual process to get information across to different architects or different contractors or merchants. But through BIM, all these can connect to each other. And one of those tools that incorporates BIM quite nicely is Revit. And through Revit, we can get information across to a lot of parties that's involved in the life cycle of the project.
And Kevin, can you give us an example? What are the most tedious or strenuous aspects of the planning method that are now hugely improved?
Getting data across that's accurate. In the past, you had to get data across from one architect to another, and that data could have mistakes in it. And through BIM, all of these clients are connected through the process itself. And that makes it a lot easier to get the correct data across.
So it's now it's more precise. It has less. So the data is more precise. It's easier. It's smoother to work with it. And I always think of the cost side of everything, which means also cost efficiency then, because fewer mistakes means fewer costs and higher cost efficiency. Matthew, from your perspective, what are the improvements that have been brought to your work life?
BIM allows us to, as Peter mentioned, to basically consolidate and coordinate the data around the building. One of the big pieces of it is actually the digital transfer of that data over to Norma Cobb as a consultant. So again, when you talk about a large number of openings and the ability to have those openings transmitted to you digitally versus having to go find them manually, if I'm looking for whether it's 100 openings or 1,000 openings, the opportunity to miss something is increased when it's a manual process. But through BIM, we're able to receive information digitally, which now tells us here are all the openings that I need to do something with, which is great. The other piece is that, you know, Peter mentioned earlier that we have more time to spend with our clients, our, you know, the architects and the owners, because the solutions around openings have gotten more complex over the years. The more things become electrified, the more things become, you know, using your cell phone to unlock a door or biometrics or those pieces, it's no longer all mechanical. So it takes more time to think about how that solution goes together. And it's allowed us the time and the opportunity to learn, to develop those solutions and be able to present them back to our clients in a way that is meaningful and it will make their building successful.
And can you give us an example about how, about the advantages and changes that are brought about by BIM in the construction process itself? So sure. You told us about delivering data and how this process has become incredibly smooth. And what about the construction process?
Well, in the construction process, again, as openings become more electrified, the need to coordinate low voltage into the opening or around the opening is critical. And when you think about low voltage is done by one set of consultants. So they're drawing where all the conduit and the wires go. The doors are being done by another architect or another consultant. The walls are being done somewhere else. The problem comes if you think about the construction cycle that we talked about earlier. I'm building my building, and before the interior is fully designed, I'm pouring the concrete walls in the basement. And if I have electrified openings going into those walls, and I forget to put the conduit in the wall before I pour it, and I've got a frame and a wall that's poured full of concrete, and I have an electrified lock on that door, I can't get wires to it anymore. Mm. And so there's a huge expense to have to go back in and take that frame out of the wall, run the conduit down, and then put the frame back in. And that typically starts at a little over $10,000 per opening. So miss four or five of those in the basement, it's a really, really expensive process. And BIM has allowed us to make sure that you're seeing all of that coordination. You know that the door opening's electrified. You know you need low voltage wiring. The general contractor knows it early in the process and not at the last minute when the concrete truck's there pumping concrete into his building. So
it's all the people who work with the construction. Plus, if I imagine myself being the client, the owner of the building, I probably wouldn't get the details about why things take longer and why it wasn't possible or why it was hardly possible to find a mistake or to foresee something and be able to anticipate something to happen and avoid the mistake in the first place.
Yes. So
did this, how does this change negotiation or conversation with the clients then?
Actually, the clients are the ones pushing it now.
Really?
We are hearing more and more in the Americas, particularly from architects who want us to work with them in a BIM format. Whether it be the BIM plugin, whether it be in the closeout documents on a project, sending them the BIM models of a revolving door, an automatic sliding door, ICU door. It's become a requirement from a number of architects, if we want to work with them and be a consultant to them, we have to be able to provide that type of service.
That sounds like if you met someone who's an architect and does not work with BIM, what kind of signal would that give off to you?
That would tell me they're probably very, very attached to AutoCAD and have been in the industry as long as I have. They remember the Atari. Let's be real.
We always get back to the Atari. And two of us have played with one. So, Peter, probably maybe you would consider getting one after this episode. I tell you, it's huge fun. But you know, you do know Pac-Man, don't
sure
you?
I have one.
But you do know Pac-Man, don't
I
you?
I do, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And from your point of view, Peter, BIM often is described as revolutionary, the invention of the fire when it comes to the planning process and building process. So can you share an anecdote where BIM completely changed the way a problem was solved?
Through specifications. It's changed the way we do specifications on our side drastically. In the past, we did specifications quite on a manual process. It took very long to capture the correct information, make sure that's correct, do the specification and share it back to the client. Through BIM, it's allowed us to create tools for the client to get that information from a client very quickly. And that information is always accurate as to what the client has done on his side. So it means that for us now we can make sure the information is correct, do the specification and share that content back. Before BIM, like I said before, it's the turnaround time of doing specifications was a lot more. And even then you had to make sure that there's no mistakes in the data that you've captured and shared back to the client. With BIM, it's reduced.
Which might create even additional workload because you have to even out the mistakes that have been made. And can you quantify that? You say it saved us a lot of time. Can you quantify it percentage-wise or...
It's reduced the turnaround time of doing specifications, I would say, by 80%, if it's not even more.
Even more.
Especially with doing revisions. So the first iteration of doing a specification is always to get the information, do the actual specification, and then afterwards a client might make changes to that project. And then sharing that information back to us. That revision process on our side can now flag what changes the client has made, and we focus on just those changes. In the past, without BIM, you had to go through each and every opening or door to see if the client has made a change to that door. So the new process has helped the client, and it's helped us drastically.
Has there ever been a case where a client has been suspicious because things run too smoothly or too quickly? Or is it just my German pessimism and skepticism?
I'm going to say it's your pessimism and skepticism. Anytime it runs smoothly, the architect smiles.
Exactly. So I might be one of these.
All About BIM.
So, gentlemen, you gave us quite a few examples about how BIM has facilitated the planning process for you. And I'm thinking of, Matthew, you mentioned there are buildings with like hundreds of doors. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay. So can you give us an example? What building has hundreds of doors? And then I do have the next question for you.
Think about a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Or a medical office building, a hotel. A university campus building.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting into the hundreds and if not thousands of doors.
thousands of doors. So what was the biggest building that you've ever been involved in?
North of 15,000 openings.
Uh-huh. And what building was that?
It was actually a hospital that I wrote in Nigeria years ago.
Oh, wow. Okay, Nigeria. I can imagine that processes, if we call them so, are way more complicated than they are here in terms of not that the processes are complicated, but getting all the resources and everyone on board on time. Is that so?
It is. Just trying to understand how all the openings are supposed to function, how to get everybody to agree to, you know, when you're dealing with, depending on the profession, but in the medical profession, doctors want the doors to work a certain way. And some places they don't want to have to touch the door to make it open. Some places they don't want the door to open. Just understanding how it has to function so that you can specify the correct solution for every opening in the building. It can be very complicated. And the larger the building, the more people that have to get involved.
Got it. So that makes it even more complex, not just the technical side, but also the personal side and the stakeholder side. Peter, what was the biggest, maybe most complex building that you've ever been involved in?
The biggest project I ever did was a hospital, about 3,000-4,000 doors. Like Matthew mentioned, hospitals is always tricky because you have to think of process flows or what the client wants the door to do. Thinking about fire escapes, fire doors, and all of that. Biggest projects I've ever seen is a project in Dubai that has 14,000 doors.
Wow.
With high-rise buildings in Dubai, thousands of doors is quite easy to get to. And I would say that the most complex project I ever did was a prison. With prisons, you don't have any floor plans. You only get a door schedule due to security reasons.
Uh-huh.
So you have to do specifications based on just a table of doors. So you can't see the actual floor plan. And you have to do a specification on just that table.
Well, that is even another level of difficulty or complexity that I would not even have imagined. What are the specifications of building a prison? And I know that there are tools to handle this. And the new tools from Domakaba is and the NTWorks ecosystem. You are experienced with that, gentlemen. So how do these tools specifically support architects and planners in their projects?
So the BIM plugin is, you know, the front end of the process around creation of a specification. And as we talked about, it's the digital translation and transmitting of data between the architect and our consultants, and then our consultants back to the architect. And that is the function of the plugin at its very basic level. Beyond that, it provides quality of life tools back to the architect. Revit has a lot of features that are very unfriendly. One of those would be changing a door number in Revit or changing all of the door numbers in Revit on your floor plan. So when they
how long would that take me for with a building with 1,000 doors, for example? How long would that take me?
How fast can you type one door number at a time as you find it?
Why?
Okay. Because that's what you have to do in Revit.
You have we'll to leave touch it to each... the listeners to do the math.
Well, and the architects don't know. When they have to go touch every single door to change the door number, because it's not like I'm in Excel and I can go in and write a formula and copy it down or quickly tab between cells. Revit, you have to go to each door and change it. With our BIM plugin, you can change all of the doors in a single table automatically, and it will take care of everything in Revit for you. So a process that could take hours has now been reduced to minutes, and it's easy. And so hence, I call it a quality of life tool. There are other features, the ability to view the hardware or to view the revisions in the plugin versus having to compare two paper documents. And there are many others under development and in process for us to continue to solve problems or, again, improve the process for the architect to compare things that are typically an issue, specifically when they get into the field. Our industry is very heavy in life safety and fire codes, which drives differences between walls and doors. So, a quick example would be, I have fire rated walls in my building, but the openings that I placed as an architect, I didn't have the fire rating on them. That's a problem in the field and an expensive one to fix. Or go the other way, where the wall's not rated and I put a fire rated door in it. Well, that's a cost I didn't need to incur. So how do I compare that quickly? Because I've got two different trades, two different consultants, one for my walls, one for my openings. The plugin can quickly look at the door rating and the wall rating and tell you where you have a conflict. So those are just some of the simple examples that help the architect quickly do quality checks on their project, return time back to them, hence quality of life, reduce cost in their project, reduce change orders from the general contractor, reduce headaches with the client, and whether it's the end user, the architect, the general contractor, or revisions for us as we have to go back and change things when they make those changes.
That sounds like a lot less headaches indeed. How many projects have you already conducted with EntryWorks?
We have, in the Americas, we're just launching the Planning 360 tools here. But in that, we have 15 to 20 projects that have been active in the tool. We've had a number of projects get started through the Revit plugin. And the most common comment I'm getting back from the architects is, wow, that was simple. Which is great, because this isn't the first plugin I've been associated with.
And it's great to hear that feedback from your clients.
So working with the architects on the BIM plugin, the feedback has been pretty straightforward. They get the BIM plugin. They're able to send us the doors and the schedules from the project. We write specification. They receive a specification. And it's made a difference in the time on their project. So frankly, their basic feedback is it's very simple and they're very appreciative.
Yes, which is a luxury problem to have, and I'm happy to hear that for you.
I'll take that problem over the opposite every day.
Over the other ones that maybe occurred in the past. And Peter, so how many projects have you already started or conducted with EntryWorks?
With EntryWorks, quite a few, I would say about 20, 30 projects as well. But through the plugin, it's been well over 100 projects. The plugin has been active for a number of years in a select market. We're excited to launch the plugin in new markets, and we've seen a very positive feedback from all the clients that have used the plugin up to now. And as Matthew said, it's always been positive feedback, and that was our initial focus when we created this plugin, was to keep the client in mind what they want to do without disturbing their workflow. So we made the plugin as light as possible, focusing on just what we need from the project. Without affecting the project itself. And the client sees that as a very positive point to use it.
Mm-hmm. And the headaches that we talked about, Matthew gave us a few examples about the fire readiness of walls and doors. Was there a specific headache that you remember that was taken away from you?
Not that I can think of at the moment. Initially, like I said before, the plugin was always designed to get all the information. So getting all the doors from the project, getting all the details from those doors, and that has helped us in doing specifications a lot easier. Because now we get all the information for the door, and that's all we need to do an accurate specification.
Mm-hmm. And accuracy and precision were benefits resulting in time efficiency, cost efficiency, lower failure rate. And can you tell us what makes the EntryWorks ecosystem unique compared to other BIM tools on the market?
With the plugin itself, when data is exported from the project itself, what makes our plugin unique is that we don't require the model of the project to be shared to us. So through the plugin, we just extract the actual data, and that's then transferred to us for us to do a specification. And when the specification is complete on our side, we share the specification back to the client, and that specification is then available in their project without affecting the project size at all. So it saves the data locally on their computer, but the size of the project and the speed of the project is not affected at all.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big benefit to a client, because the moment information is usually imported, it slows down the actual model, and that's not what clients want.
Definitely doesn't sound like it. Matthew, what you said when you started working, or you started working with dormakaba 14, 15 months ago because you were intrigued by the approach that the company has to the market. What makes the EnterWorks ecosystem unique compared to other BIM tools on the market from your perspective?
The EnterWorks ecosystem in the BIM components of it allow us to take the breadth of the dormakaba portfolio. So door hardware, revolving doors, optical turnstiles, automatic sliding doors, escape route doors in Europe, you know, movable glass partitions, demountable glass partitions. We can handle all of that in the EnterWorks tools and in the ecosystem, not just from the specification side of things, but as we help with the construction planning, with the execution, the installation, in certain markets, the commissioning of access control openings via an app versus putting multiple people around the openings and at control panels, the ability to hand over the digital data to the owner versus a PDF saying, Here's what's on your doors. You know, good luck looking it up when you have a warranty issue if you do. It handles the full life cycle of the building. So we don't stop when you hand the keys to the owner and say, here's your new building, have a great day. We're there for the life of it. We have products like EnterWorks Insights that allow them to monitor their automatic doors. So when you think about sliding doors or automatic swinging doors or revolving doors, those need maintenance. And they need maintenance based on a predictive cycle. But if you don't know how many times the door is cycling a day because no one's standing there counting it, you wait till it breaks to call somebody to come fix it.
Mm.
And if you're a customer of that business and you walk up and you can't get through the door, that's a negative impression. And you don't want that. But with EnterWorks Insights, part of our ecosystem, you can get predictive about when the door needs to be serviced. So you can service it before it breaks. And then your clients have a positive reflection every time they approach the door.
So you are there before the mistakes happen, before the pain occurs.
Yes.
And can you give us numbers? You mentioned hospitals already. Like, how many times does the average door in a hospital open and close?
Well, considering they have thousands of patients that come through a day, it opens and closes every time someone approaches it. Think about a retail store. A Target or a grocery store or a Walmart, they have tens of thousands of people that come through the door a day. And those doors open and close every single time. And whether they're pushing carts and banging into them, or the door's opening too slowly and they just bang into it, or the weather. You don't want the door to stay open very long if it's cold outside or it's hot outside, because now you're taking all your climate-controlled air and pushing it into the out-of-doors. You can control that and pay attention to that, whether it be with the door energy calculator, with the EnterWorks Insights tools. There are many ways to drive cost savings, energy savings, and keep a positive customer experience with your facility.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And gentlemen, I'm wondering if you had all the resources that you need and the EnterWorks ecosystem is right at your hands, what type of building would you love to build? What would you be curious about?
Each building becomes as easy as possible, or each building is as easy as the next building. Getting data across. Doing the specification, we have a lot of preset hardware sets on our disposal to do the specification as quickly as possible. So from my side, I would say retail stores are always easy. Hospitals is always a bit more complex because you have to factor in a lot more. Houses, I would say, is always easy.
So what would you be interested in building?
For me, a house.
A house. You already mentioned a prison. That was already great to hear. Matthew, what would...
Yeah, a prison is always a difficult subject. There's a lot of to think of in a prison. It's not something I would like to do every day. Because there's limited information that you do get from a client. I would say, yeah, the easiest is always houses and the retail stores.
And Matthew, what would you like to build if you had all the resources that are necessary?
I'd like to work on the Burj Khalifa again, the world's tallest building in Dubai. That did some work on that project when they were building it. And I would have loved to have had the Interworks ecosystem to plan that building and all of the different applications in that facility. It was an amazing project.
Do you know how many doors it has? What do you think?
I can't tell you the number of doors in the residential portion in the upper floors, but there were over 3,500 commercial style doors and frames in that facility, and none of them were standard. And the access control and the people movement, and it's an amazing building. And now that I've worked with the Entryworks tools and the ability to plan with those tools, it would have been a ton easier. And it would have been a lot of fun, actually.
Would have been great to have a competition, like the old-fashioned way and the Entryworks ecosystem way, and see who takes how long to build it and plan it.
That would be close.
Awesome.
Thank you very much. The power of the tools are amazing. So, yes.
Awesome. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
The Entryworks ecosystem.
Matthew, I know that you are an expert when it comes to planning 360. Can you give us a taste about that? What it is like working with it?
Planning 360 is a very intuitive and simple tool for our consultants to generate specifications for our architectural clients or security consultants with. It works in conjunction with our planning tools as well. So they're actually two separate tools inside the ecosystem that allow us to, whether it's specifying something as simple as an office door, which, you know, you're putting the hinges and the lock set and the wall stop and whatever else on the opening, or when you're getting into an access controlled opening where you need to place a controller, you have a power supply, you have wires running all around the opening and across the building, which is very difficult to understand or visualize when all you have is a document with words and alphanumeric characters trying to describe what's going on in the opening. So between the planner and P360, we're able to provide a visual image of where wires need to run, how many wires need to run there, what gauge those wires need to be, where in the building you're going to locate the power supply. In many cases, the power supply is not right above the door. You don't have a place to put it. Or you have a controller for the access control system that is handling multiple doors, and so you need a central place to put it. When I'm generating a hardware set to explain, here's what goes on that door, and I tell you, well, there's a controller here, or there's a power supply, that doesn't tell you where to put it. Well, and then if you can imagine, most everybody's been to IKEA, and they've bought something from IKEA, and they've opened up the box, and they've got this manual and all these parts. Well, imagine around a door that you have 15 different IKEA boxes that all have their own manuals, and you have to figure out how to make those 15 boxes work together and assemble them together. Once you've done that, you now understand what the installer has to deal with when they go to a door in a building that has a card reader, electrified lock, hinges, a door closer, whatever else. They open up all these boxes. They all have individual manuals, and they have to figure out how to put them together. That's the mechanical part of that. It's complex, but it's not as complex as now where do you run all those wires and what color wire do you connect where? Well, Planner and P360 allow us to not only give you the picture of how everything goes on at the door, we will give you the diagram that tells you which wires go to which terminals on which controller and what room you put it in. So now there's no question. If they install it the way that it was designed and specified, Norma Cobble will stand behind it. If they allow somebody to just go do what they want, well, we're not going to guarantee your opening is going to work, which most people have figured out. And as an owner of a building, we've talked about hospitals, and there are a lot of access-controlled openings in hospitals, right? If you are the maintenance person or the access control technician in a hospital, and they told you the door to room 1202 wasn't working, and you had to go figure out where the power supply was, what wires connected to what that controlled what on the door, and you were relying on someone to have taken notes when they installed it and written that down and actually delivered it to you, versus having a digital copy of here's how it was put together, here's where the power supply is, and here's where all the wires go, which would you prefer? That's what planning and P360 allow us to deliver to our clients, whether it be the architect, the owner, the general contractor. We provide them with clean, accurate documents that represent how an opening should be installed and operated.
I have a very clear visual representation of that process. Thank you very much. And what you just told us reminds me of some ideas that I know some electrician companies do have in this area, because some of them are thinking about giving people who, of course, are electricians, but giving them AR or VR, so augmented or virtual reality goggles to help them install the electricity within a building. Do you think that could also be possible with the planning today?
Not today, but I think in the future, yes. There are, you know, QR codes are becoming popular so that you can quickly grab information. The introduction of tablets in the field to be able to visualize products on an opening or to commission an opening are becoming more and more popular. AI is becoming more and more popular around what's going on in the construction industry. Takes a lot to train a model, but you know, I've seen AI tools that can actually estimate the structural steel in a building in minutes, that can review code compliance and design requirements against codes very quickly. There's not been a lot of AI introduced into our segment of the construction industry. So you can almost call it a green field for the advent of AI. But I do think augmented reality or virtual reality will play a game there. There are, you know, in the real estate market, people are putting on VR goggles to take a tour of an apartment before it's been built. So they're actually seeing and looking at the architect's 3D model and seeing what the room looks like, seeing what the levers on the doors would look like in those components. But, you know, in Peter's earlier conversations, that does make the model very, very heavy. But it's technology that's out there, and it continues to get better every day.
And if let's say I gave you the option to implement AI into your planning process, what would be the first idea that crosses your mind? How could you make use of AI?
It would be evaluating the purpose of the room and recommending the application of hardware for that opening. So if I'm looking at a school building and I know that, you know, all the classrooms are, you know, 20-minute rated and single opening, I wouldn't have to spend the time to go find every classroom and evaluate the hardware for it. I could accept a recommendation from AI. It's a time savings piece. There are a lot of opportunities out there. The complexity for our industry is that there are a number of different solutions for every opening, and specification writers, it's an art to them in a way, even though it's very technical. you put five spec writers in a room and ask them all to write the same opening, you will get five different solutions. And none of them would be wrong, but there's just the different varieties and the regional differences in products or codes or those pieces. But that's not to say it can't be done, and it probably should be done. It will be done. AI is not going away, and I think it will continue to expand into what we do.
The multiple ways it can be used and implemented are, I think they're just starting off. And Peter, if you were one of those artists that Matthew just mentioned, and I gave you the magic wand of artificial intelligence, how would you implement it? What would you use it for?
There's various ways. So I think the most complex way looking at specifications is always understanding the fire escape routes, making sure that the correct fire doors are specified by the client and by us. So using AI to determine those fire escape routes, which is an important factor for us when we do specifications, is to look at that information. And if AI can determine that, also looking at the building itself and seeing if there's maybe mistakes or maybe improvements that can be made on the architect side. I think those processes is not only going to help the architect, it's going to help us as well.
And thinking about future technology in architecture, what would you say fascinates you the most? And is there already a project where you have had a taste of it?
I would say at the moment, looking at future technologies is always, like Matthew said, AI. I think the QR code as well is a big factor in providing the specification to the general contractor. With a QR code, the general contractor on site can scan a code and I can view the specification for that specific door from site. AR is also a big point in the future to visually see how the door with the products on it might look. So all of those tools is quite exciting to see how it will shape us as a company in the future.
And Matthew, you just mentioned that people are able to walk through buildings with VR goggles without the building even being built. What building is there on this planet that you would like to walk through with AR goggles, the two of you, that you have not personally visited yet?
I think I'd like to go through Apple's headquarters.
Uh-huh. The Apple's headquarters. And Peter, what about you?
I would say the same. Maybe the Burj Khalifa as well. Never been there, hopefully one day. But big projects or big buildings is always fascinating to see how they were built.
How they were built. Thank you, gentlemen.
Future technologies.
Matthew, what role does the door efficiency calculator play? Or can you explain us what it actually is?
So Dormakaba has developed a tool that allows you to calculate the energy savings based on the type of door that you put in your building, in the exterior of your building, and how long and how that door operates. So if you think about a sliding door, every time it opens and stays open, air is escaping or entering your building, right? So you can, based on the energy efficiency of the door, the type of glass in the door, the size of the opening, how you set the door to stay open, duration for people to come through the door, you can calculate the energy loss or, in this case, savings. So getting back to that sustainable environment, the tool allows you to calculate those variables. And in doing so, it allows you to choose the types of sensors or when the door opens. So imagine a sliding door on the front of a hotel or a large office building with a sidewalk that has a lot of pedestrian traffic outside. you don't want the door opening every time people just walk by because they're going down the sidewalk. The energy efficiency calculator allows you to help choose the right sensors to only pick up when people are coming to the door, to understand how fast the door will open, how long the door will stay open, and when it will close. So it's a great tool to help you plan for and manage how the door operates and what door you put in based on the seasonality of where your building's located.
And how much energy could I be saving with the calculator?
It depends on your application. Again, a retail store that has the doors opening thousands of times a day, it can be quite significant. But if it's, a door that's only opening 10 or 15 times a day or 100 times a day, it's a lot less. So there's some variation there. For right now, if I were to, Peter's going into autumn. I'm going into my spring here in the Americas. If my temperatures are warmer as his are getting colder, it depends on what's happening. So if I'm heating the building and you've got, different costs in heating versus air conditioning the building, that's an issue. We're working with a major retailer right now to put in sliding doors in a number of states here in the Americas. And one of their big concerns is that energy loss. If the door is staying open too long, or if the door gets stuck in the open position, they know that they're air conditioning their parking lot, which is not good for anybody. And that's a concern to them.
And a building that I'm thinking of right now is a huge mall that I've once been to in Manila. So there's summer all year round, huge air conditioning and huge temperature differences between inside the building and outside the building. Right. And you would want to keep the heat outside of the building.
Absolutely. So the ability to control how fast that door opens and closes and when that door opens is critical. So understanding if I can take 2 seconds out of every time that door's open and understand what the energy savings is would help you set the parameters around that opening to put money back in your pocket.
Hmm. Do you already have clients in Manila? I do think of quite a few buildings over there.
I believe we
have. They would be huge fans of your suggestions.
I'm sure that we have clients and we have product in Manila. I don't know of them specifically, but I'm sure Dormakaba has products all around the globe.
Oh. And we've heard about projects that you've been involved in the past and evolution that you witness right now. When you think of the construction industry in the near future, what further evolution do you expect?
I expect the industry to move more and more toward digital solutions, not just in transmitting data, but around the opening. If I go back to early in my career, the application of an electrified product on a door was very rare. You didn't see, you didn't have lock sets that your cell phone can unlock. That was unheard of, unthought of. Electric strikes are common. Electromagnetic locks are common. But we're getting more and more to where you have standalone locks that you go check into a hotel today. They will send you your key to your room on your cell phone before you ever get there. So you don't have to stop at the front desk. So I think we'll see more and more of that as we move forward. Keys, in the days of carrying 40 keys on your belt as a maintenance man in a facility or more are going away. The advent of access control and even the physical key card, I think will begin to disappear, and we will see more and more things operating off of your watch, your phone. Biometrics are becoming more and more popular. We're seeing it a large trend of that in airports.
Like we see in the movies with the eye scan and everything?
With the eye scan or facial recognition, there are a number of airports today. If you go through, as you're going through customs, they take your picture and they use that biometric image to compare it to your passport and allow you to go through customs. There are places that you don't even talk to a customs agent now because of the biometric capabilities to allow you through. I think we'll continue to see that evolve.
Peter, anything to add? So what do you think? Where is the construction industry headed in the near future?
like Matthew mentioned, all of it is moving to a digital system or platform. So it's always quite exciting to be involved in that. It makes life easier for all the parties involved.
Mm-hmm. And Peter, what would be your advice to architects and planners who want to prepare for the digital changes?
To get involved with us, get involved with the tools that we can offer. We've created these tools to assist them. It was not originally created just to help us. So always be in contact with us, see what we can offer to them. And we are there to assist clients. We are there to make life as easy as possible for them. And hopefully in the future we can expand on that offering and assist them in more ways.
And Matthew, closing word from you, what would be your advice to architects and planners?
I would recommend that they reach out to their Dormakaba representative to find out what all the solutions we can provide are. In a number of markets, Dormakaba is seen as a door hardware supplier, and we're much more. We provide solutions for any opening they have in the building. We're providing technology to help make those solutions function better and to make it easier to specify those solutions. And beyond that, if you don't see what you want or you have a need, ask us. We're a very nimble and forward-thinking company, and we'd love to find a way to partner with any of our architectural clients or general contractor security consultants to find a solution and to develop something that makes life better for all of us.
That sounds incredibly inviting. And I think maybe if ever in the future I will be a huge building, and maybe I have a few thousand doors, I will think of you and I would definitely approach you. Gentlemen, Matthew and Peter, thank you very much for being my guest on this podcast today, Because It Matters, the Dormakaba podcast. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was Because It Matters, a Dormakaba podcast. New episodes every month wherever you can listen to a podcast and on dormakaba.com.